Chapter 45. Charlie was a pirate, a space pirate, a space pirate on a ship of aliens. Every time he paused to assess his situation, the ridiculousness of what his life had become evoked a painfully amused laugh. "Look at me now, Ma," was one thought he had on repeat, though with all of the amazing things he was doing as a full-fledged space pirate, the sarcasm in the statement was only partial. It had been many days, or maybe even a few weeks. He wasn't sure anymore. Once the ship got into fighting trim, they happened upon a largely unprotected trading route full of tempting prizes. The daily tasks of invading, pillaging, and surviving took up most of his time. They'd been relatively fortunate in their hauls, the ships targeted being pushovers, mostly. Mostly. A few, however, put up one hell of a fight, and there had been a several-day gap in action as Captain Saruman was forced to jump to the particularly tough world of Etrin to recrew with veteran fighters. He would slowly fill his ranks with prisoners as they become seasoned, but for the immediate jobs at hand, he needed experienced men and simply couldn't wait. There was a tiny bit of friction with the other crew at first. Many had a sense of seniority due to the way they had come up in the ranks. But after seeing the new additions in combat, they quickly gelled into a cohesive team. The new guys, it seemed, were certifiable badasses. It was a crash course in pirating and space combat for Charlie, and he studied the fighting techniques employed by the different men with great interest, when not frantically trying to save his own life, that is. Through all of the raids, he stuck true to his personal ethics, never killing anyone, though he did suffer a few minor injuries for his trouble. Fortunately, the healing powers of the waters he and Rika had discovered seemed to have lost none of their potency, and his wounds healed with astounding speed. This durability was one trait he did his best to hide, not knowing what the captain might have him do if he were aware he had a crewman with such a gift. Now, this is not saying he did not harm anyone. Far from it. In the heat of battle, fighting for your life, you don't really have the choice of simply not laying a finger on anyone. Fortunately for Charlie, it seemed Earth's martial arts styles were unfamiliar to pretty much everyone they encountered. A few had interesting techniques of their own, but most seemed focused around the power devices they were suddenly unable to wield in close-quarter combat. Charlie left more than a few men with concussions that would leave their heads aching the next day, but at least they would live. Likewise, survival was a result for those he choked out, rendering them unconscious with a well-placed squeeze of the arms. Except for the few alien species who apparently had diverse enough physiology for his choke-out techniques to not work on them, hence the concussion option. One aspect his scientific mind took in with great interest was the layout and function of all the different manner of ships they descended upon. Breaching their hulls was a fairly straightforward process, but once inside, the differing designs and built-in functions of each craft were a wealth of novelty for the human engineer. And all of the systems were voice-controlled. No matter whose craft they invaded, it seemed that in every single system they traveled to, all tech was voice-activated, and all ran on the same odd language, no less. Charlie continued to add to his mnemonic song, making a point to keep his ears open for any new command words he had not already committed to memory. Unlike his previous experience with the T'Slaver crew, the pirates seemed far looser in their use of the words, and though he lacked their voice-activated devices, Charlie nevertheless began amassing a decent amount of command words for all manner of things. "Marmon, I noticed something about Captain Saruman," he mentioned as the two ate dinner one evening.
"Oh?" his friend replied.
Friend. How unlikely that the very man who had captured him, then hauled him off to a life of labor and piracy, would become his friend. But oddly enough, the men had developed a mutual respect the more they talked. And the older pirate was clever. Very clever. Marbon would never discuss his past life from before he joined Captain Saruman's crew. But given his articulate nature and intellectual ways, especially compared to his comrades, Charlie was certain there was quite a story there. One day, perhaps, his friend would tell it to him. "Yeah," he continued. "These past weeks, I've really watched him, both on the Rixana as well as when we board other ships."
"Good. You can learn a lot by simply observing," his scarred friend noted. "The captain is one hell of a leader.
always in front with his men, never shying from a fight. That is why he has the loyalty of his men. He may be our captain, but he's also truly one of us. Yeah, I've seen him fight. It's almost like he enjoys the risks.
Well, you didn't hear from me, but there's talk that the captain was once a gladiator in his early days.
A gladiator? Are you serious? Like fighting in arenas? People actually still do that?
Of course, Marbon said, as if it were the most normal thing in the world. It's an immensely popular sport. Anyway, rumor has it the captain was captured in a pirate raid that took the ship he was being transported on. Realizing what was happening, his owners freed him and gave him arms to defend the ship along with the crew. He killed a lot of men, but at the end of the day, he simply couldn't fight off all the attacking force. He wound up pretty badly injured and was the only survivor, but apparently the captain of that pirate ship was so impressed with him that he let him live, fixing his hurt and making him part of his crew.
And the rest is history.
Precisely.
It explained a lot about the captain, actually. But whatever his combative life had been in the past, he was a learned man now as well. The thing is, it seems Captain Saruman does nearly everything himself. Like, we board a new ship and he is diverting systems, opening sealed compartments, overriding power controls. From what I'd seen up until now, that's pretty unusual.
It is, Marbon agreed. Nearly everyone specializes in their field, learning the spells specific to their tasks. Pilots learned all the maneuvering spells. Repairmen learned the repair spells. Chefs learned the chef spells. Don't be silly, Charlie. Chefs learned to cook, Marbon said with a funny little grin. Well, okay, and maybe some kitchen spells too, he laughed. The thing is, there are thousands of spells.
Voice commands.
Spells, Charlie. Call them what you like, but they're spells. Controlling unseen power, bending it to do a specific task.
That was one area he and his alien friend had a never-ending difference of opinion on. It was clearly more than just a semantic issue. It was almost a religious one, though none seemed to deem this magic as an actual deity. Rather, it was a power, an invisible force that was present in all things. To Charlie, it was ludicrous, though he kept that opinion largely to himself. So the captain is a learned man, is what you're saying.
I'm saying he has prepared himself, as one would expect of a gladiator, to be able to overcome and be victorious in a wide range of situations. Most are so specialized, they wouldn't know what to do outside of their own narrow spectrum of skills if something went wrong. Why, even some of the most powerful users, from Mesters and Emics all the way to Vislas, are limited once they step outside their chosen skills.
Seems like a dangerous way to live. I mean, what if they lose their pilot or something?
Men like that have resources, Charlie. Vast resources. They just get another. In fact, most have a few redundancies on hand. The truly wealthy ones, at least. That's what slaves are for, after all.
The slavery discussion was one they'd had many times. Marbon found it quaint that in Charlie's world, slavery had been abolished many centuries ago. The idea that no man could own another was quite novel in his eyes. Here, however, it was not only alive and well, it was an accepted part of society, though obviously none wanted to become enslaved. The only positive Charlie could see of their system was that at least there seemed to be no restriction on who might find themselves an unwilling servant. Race and species was not the driving factor at all. Sure, certain species, such as Drooks and Utaki, held more value than others, and as such were often taken if they strayed from their own systems where they were protected by numbers. But otherwise, it seemed anyone could wind up a slave, even a former gladiator or a space engineer from another galaxy.
You know, Marbon said, a curious look in his eye, the captain is not a fool.
What do you mean?
He knows what you've been doing.
Shit, how can he know I'm memorizing the control words? I don't know what you're talking about, Charlie said with a straight face.
Well, he knows, and one of these days he's going to call you out on it. Consider that a friendly word of warning, Marbon said, downing the last of his meal. Anyway, it's been a long day. I'm going to get some rest. Word is we've got a juicy prize waiting for us tomorrow.
He rose and cracked his back with a big stretch, then wandered out of the galley, leaving Charlie in his usual spot, pondering what he'd said. The captain knows. Somehow he knows. Charlie looked at the others in the galley. All were either engrossed in their meals or in conversations with one another. Then he saw him. Captain Saruman stood at the far end of the room, leaning against the doorway as he surveyed his men. His eyes locked on Charlie's a moment, and he smiled. Then he turned and was gone. I am so screwed.